Sack.
Wow, it's that time of week again where you settle in to listen to the award-nominated The Football Sack podcast. We're glad you're with us for the next 40 minutes. On the agenda is the 2011-2012 Hyundai A-League season draw that was released today, and a few of the other things happening in State League football across the country. First, welcome back to the show, Pete. Last week, for those of you who are new to the show or have just forgotten, Pete stormed out of the studio. Why was that?
What do you expect, man? Like, I get treated like rubbish. You forget, well, like, the theme music. How could you forget the theme music?
It was just something that I misplaced.
Oh, seriously, man.
Well, I'm sorry, Pete.
All right, it's cool.
Are the issues resolved?
Well, you promised me cupcakes when this show is over.
I ate all the cupcakes.
Do you want me to leave again?
I'm sorry.
The door's there. I can go.
Please don't leave. We'll record the podcast. We'll have a good time. I promise you a good time.
Are you cracking on to me?
No, just stay around for the show, please.
Okay. Yes. I'll stick around for one more show.
All I heard was okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to cross now to the news desk for all the football news across the country.
In A-League news, Marco Flores is vowed to stay in the league next season, challenging rival clubs to top Adelaide's offer, which he is yet to sign. Melbourne Victory squad has been weakened after the releasing of Marvin Angulo and football superstar Luke Pilkington. Strikers everywhere, however, are disappointed that Marko Pekovic has hung up his gloves after a less than perfect season between the Sticks. Neil Kilkenny is clubless after his contract with Leeds United was left to expire. Despite recently training with Gold Coast United, Neil Kilkenny has said he has no intention of joining the A-League next season. Moving away and into Europe, Socceroo Adam Federici has missed out on the chance to ply his trade in the English Premier League after his side Reading lost 4-2 to Swansea City. Honestly, who could do that? And finally, our fearless leader in the Asian Football Confederation, Mr. Mohammed bin Hamim, has backed out of the FIFA presidency race, and Sepp Blatter is set to run unopposed and unsurprisingly expected to be re-elected. That's the news. Back to you.
Thank you very much, Pete. A bit of a dance studio you've got over there in the news desk.
Yeah. Better believe it. Dancing off with the news.
Interesting, isn't it, the FIFA stuff that's happening at the moment?
Yeah, a lot's going on at FIFA. A lot of people crying out for Sepp Blatter to walk away. The hashtag on Twitter, Blatter Out, is trending quite strongly.
That's interesting to say, Blatter Out, Blatter, yeah.
What I honestly love about this is Bin Hamin, the whole time leading up to this presidency election, was going on about, oh yes, there's corruption and so on. The moment there was mention of an ethics committee, he's walking away.
He's out.
No,
see you later.
I'm done. Cool. Yeah, fantastic about that.
Interesting stuff happening there. Does open the door for the 2022 World Cup bid to be back on the table.
Possibly.
At the fan forum, Ben Buckley was a bit...
Yeah, Ben Buckley said if the opportunity came up, he'd be happy to look at that, re-evaluate it.
Yeah, and there are a lot of calls for it to be redecided. I think that people do forget that we did only receive one vote. There were four or five teams, yeah, bids in the race, and we were the worst. We were the worst bid.
Hey, that's something to be proud of.
So maybe leave it at that. Let's focus on the Hyundai A-League season 2011-2012 coming up.
Like we say, the draw came out today. And I was at work, so I haven't actually seen it myself, but you've done a lot of research into
this. I've pored over it. Do you want to talk about it now, or do you want to chuck to a segment? Let's talk about it now.
Why not?
Pete's nodding his head. We're going to mix it up. Usually we jump to player tweets, but we'll talk about
the original. Our producer's just looking at their watch, telling us to hurry up, so...
We've only got 40 minutes. Yep, okay, we've got it. No, okay.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Chill. All right, just relax. Cool.
Clubs... just today, unanimously seem very happy with the 2011-2012 draw. All clubs, of course, except North Queensland Fury.
I don't know why.
Yeah. Come on, guys. Quit your moaning.
Chin up.
You've got a really easy draw.
Yeah. Come on. You're like NTC.
A few of the main points of the draw are that there's a big focus on the home and away structure, so there'll be more regularity between the home fixtures. Midweek games are clustered over the summer period, so there'll be 5 matches played out in regional areas as well, whether that be in developing market, a new region, who knows. Clubs, they'll get to put forward their own preferences as to where they'd like to play those regional games, but nothing has been confirmed as yet.
That sounds like a decent idea, to be honest. I wouldn't mind seeing, like, Central Coast playing in Canberra.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't mind seeing the likes of maybe Adelaide playing a game in Tasmania.
There has to be a game in Tasmania.
There really has to be a game in Tasmania soon. I always enjoy watching Wellington play in Christchurch.
Yeah.
That always pulls a fantastic crowd.
Not Auckland, because there was a bit of talk today or yesterday.
Auckland doesn't pull a crowd.
Yeah, well, but did you hear the talk? There was some talks that have been denied that Wellington Phoenix might have to move to Auckland.
Not going
to
happen.
I know it's not going to happen, but just, you know, bit of controversy happening across the ditch.
Anyway, what's this I hear about, like, this marathon of football?
Okay, January 4th. Wednesday, is a day when there'll be 5 games of football played out through the day. In what is, yeah, as you say, a marathon of football, kind of similar to your charity match that you had, 24 hours of football. But this is about 10 hours of football, non-stop. So it really makes an event.
So we're not saying that it's going to be everyone at the same location. We're going, each club is having their own home game.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Sydney local time that it's going to be this marathon.
Any local, not just Sydney local time. Any local time.
Okay, fair enough.
Sydney-centric boy Pete Novakovsky. Supernova Pete, as I have now nicknamed him. I'm trying to get that going, Supernova. Start calling him Supernova on Twitter, on Facebook. Get it going. I really feel that it's a good nickname. Do you like it?
Sure, why not? New hashtag for me.
Yeah, as I said, it's probably one of the most interesting parts of the draw, this marathon. 5 games in a row, back-to-back. Fox Sports will have a field day over it.
Definitely. Well, from what I understand, that would be school holidays.
Yeah, the 4th of January.
So perhaps they'll be offering, like, school trips, or they'll have student discounts and what have you over there.
Plenty of opportunity for marketing on that day. The one drawback that I possibly see is that because it's such a television-oriented event, people will be encouraged to watch all the games live on television.
But remember, it's work day still.
It is.
And the games start at 1 p.m. Sydney time that I remember.
Yeah, there will be a lot of people on holidays.
Yeah.
So they will be... it's kind of like you make a day of it, you've invited the mates over, you say, come, we'll have a barbecue, we'll have beers.
You'd be pissed after the 3rd game.
You would be quite pissed, yes. Interesting. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing how that pans out.
Now, one thing I want to know is the last round of football, are all the games played at the same time?
You've got me there. I'm not sure. Probably not, though, because of the deal with Fox Sports.
See, I don't agree with that.
Don't throw questions at me that I haven't researched.
I'm sorry. I should read over your notes more often. So round one, we see...
grand final rematches all over the place. Well, 2. Brisbane Roar taking on Central Coast up at Suncorp, capitalising on the end of the season, 52,000 crowd. Massive crowd there. Do you think they will be able to get these similar numbers?
If they pull over 24,000, I think it will be a win for them.
Oh, definitely. Will Brisbane Roar be able to get at least, 5% of those fans that were at the grand final to become members?
I think so. I definitely applaud the marketing department of Brisbane Roar. They are fantastic at trying to advertise the club as much as possible.
Yeah, good. The other grand final rematch is the one from the season prior, the 09-10 season of Sydney FC versus Melbourne Victory. And that's happening down at Etihad Stadium. The thing about that
should be Amy.
You say that, but the second game that they have down in Melbourne is at Amy. And prior to this season, all Sydney FC Melbourne Victory games that have happened down in Victory have been at Etihad due to the stadium deal that the Victory have.
Yep.
So now, a great move to move the Sydney game to Amy Park.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect a large crowd at that first game at Etihad. I would say probably 15,000-16,000. But the game at Amy Park, it should be a lot bigger.
Yeah, don't forget.
Because you get a lot more people down.
Don't forget it's the first round, so there will be a bit of excitement about the first rounds. But yeah, as you say, the Amy Park game.
The first round isn't until October 8th. So we have a long time until then.
A long time to promo the game and, yeah, get those memberships coming in. I would expect the Cove to travel quite heavily to the Amy Park.
Definitely. It's a Cove favourite. Talking to a couple of the guys at the Footy Fans Down Under and World Game Fan Forum, they all seem to like Amy as much as I do, and they prefer games to be there.
I like Amy too. She's hot.
Who doesn't like Amy?
Hi, Amy, if you're listening. It's great to see some of the traditions that are slowly building across the A-League. And the Boxing Day Queensland Derby, it will continue. It's back this time at Skill Park. I was at the last one at Skill Park, up at Robina there, and it was quite an event. There was about 11,000, I believe. Completely different to the rest of the season where they struggled to get crowds. But this game, yeah, massive attendance. And there was a great atmosphere there, and I went there, spur of the moment, thought, what am I doing on Boxing Day? Nothing really. I was going to go to the races, because it's a bit of a tradition, you go to the races on Boxing Day, dude, where I'm from. But thought, no, I don't want to do that. I'll go to the football. And it was amazing. It was great fun.
Brilliant. Well, I might actually consider doing that as an away trip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah, that game is quickly developing some great tradition there and history.
Sounds good.
The other tradition that has continued is on the Central Coast, where they generally have a New Year's Eve fixture.
Yep.
Each year. And this year it is against Gold Coast United.
Brilliant.
So
that's good.
That's another tradition. Great to see these things developing over time as the competition wears on. That's about all I've got on the draw. It was really well received. That's all you got?
well, like I say, I was at work, so I didn't get to see any of this.
I can continue.
Yeah.
Just feels that FFA have really listened to the clubs and to the fans and to all the football people that have contributed, I guess, and let the FFA know what they're after.
Maybe the fan forum took an instant impact.
I think a lot of things were decided by then, but...
But even still, like, maybe it was just one of those, it hit them and it starts to sink
I think so, yeah. Yeah, a lot of the clubs have worked closely with the Federation and have got what they wanted, mostly.
Yeah.
You can tell by the amount of media releases that we've received today.
Too many emails to look at.
Great fun. That about wraps up the A-League draw talk that we've got. We're going to backtrack now and jump to one of our favourite segments, which is called...
Player Tweets! Excellent!
Yeah. Alright, first up. Travis Dodd. Good old Doddsy.
Love Travis Dodd.
Or, as Christian reminded me midweek, Travis...
Isn't he Ood?
Ooh.
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 Yeah.
He got me in trouble, actually. He's like, look, if you're going to take the name of the Football Sack podcast, award-nominated Football Sack podcast that we did all the work for, you should at least call Travis Dodd Travis Ooh. So, okay, Travis Ooh.
Travis Ooh said this on Twitter.
Bought a new bed today. King size. Quality. Looking forward to delivery.
So why does he need a king size bed?
He's not the tallest man in the world, is he? He's not...
No, not really. Well, maybe his missus is tall, I'm not too
sure.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is she a model? My friend, she's 5 foot nothing, and she's got a king size bed as well. What is it with small people having big ass beds?
That's annoying.
Like, they could get
and yet I'm this tall guy, and I have a tiny bed.
Yeah,
you have a tiny bed.
With a single mattress. It's, yeah. That's
shame on you, Travis. Start sharing your stuff.
You know what he should do? Buy us a bed.
Buy us a bed,
Travis. Alright, next up, we have Wayne Rooney. And he's saying, how good was that kid on Britain's Got Talent last night?
To be honest, I've got no idea. I don't watch Britain's Got Talent.
Neither do I.
Mainly because they don't have talent. Ooh, that was so harsh.
We're assuming, if you're asking a question, he was not very good. If you're rhetorically asking the question in the form of like an explanation...
We'll return it and ask another question of why are you watching such rubbish?
Why are you watching rubbish television? Wayne Rooney, you've probably got more things to do, better things to do with your time, possibly practicing.
Yeah, play some FIFA, or like, if you're sick of playing football, Start playing some basketball, baseball.
Tell you what he should do. He should be practicing all those skills that Barcelona taught them on the weekend.
Oh, that was harsh. Next up.
All right, we got Miss Melissa Barbieri. She is saying, in a female voice, on the training, on my iPhone, downloading iTunes, I can never be doing one thing. It's either nothing or 100 things. Just reinforcing the stereotype.
Yeah, good work. But I just want to know, how on earth is she able to be on the treadmill and downloading iTunes, like tunes for her iPhone? Look, it's crazy.
I can't do it.
I can't.
But, you know, we're both men. She's a woman. Maybe she's...
Ooh, bit sexist there.
Well, she's saying it. She's the one multitasking and being... fulfilling that stereotype.
Ooh.
Anyway.
That wraps up.
It really does.
Yeah, that wraps up. Player tweets! Excellent!
Yeah.
Alright, let's move on. Back to the state leagues. We've talked the A-League. Let's go back to the New South Wales Premier League, Pete.
Well, it's either that or our producer keeps throwing stuff at us.
Yeah. Stop giving us those eyes.
We're on Premier League stuff now. Look, okay. So, look, the major result over the weekend, we saw Bonnyrigg White Eagles manage to get a 4-2 win over Sutherland Sharks. This was at Seymour Shaw Park. We were both there. Neither of us could believe this was going to happen, but it did.
Robbie Stanton, after the game,
yeah,
quite upset.
Definitely upset.
Coach Robbie Stanton of Sutherland Sharks, and very disappointed.
Say friend of the football sack.
Friend of the sack. Yeah, sure. He is going to make some changes, Pete.
Definitely. He's got probably 3 or 4 players who played rather bad. They were really horrible.
He didn't name those players, but do you have any inkling as to who those are?
Oh, that's tough. Well, we've got Penny Nicholas, who's leaving Southo to go to China. He actually left today.
Hmm.
So
see you later, Penny.
Yeah, it was nice knowing you, Penny. I don't know, Nicky Tatalios in that left wing hasn't been fantastic for me. I think Chris Price has been a better left back. We've had Mike Katz, who is fantastic with his passing, but he is so terrified of trying to beat a player, it isn't funny. Mm. Matt Bailey, he's trying his best. Sam Awade up front, he's looking a bit lazy, to be honest. So I wouldn't mind seeing him try and pick up his football.
Really? Matt Bailey, I thought, had a good game the other day.
Well, Matt Bailey scored the opening goal. That was 9 minutes in. He scored that. So credit to him. It was a great goal. But to be honest, Sam Awad hasn't done anything lately that I've seen.
And he got taken off about on the 60th minute. So, he's probably one of the players. On the other end of the pitch...
Brown's side.
Yeah.
He was so happy. He couldn't stop.
There was one standout player who you said is probably a certainty for an A-League contract season start.
Definitely. Jamie McMaster. If he doesn't have an A-League contract with the likes of Newcastle, where he would fit in fantastically, even Gold Coast, he would fit in quite nicely. Maybe Melbourne Heart, not too sure. But look, this guy is phenomenal. His passing is brilliant. His shooting is great.
He did some really tricky moves at one point.
He is not afraid to do a step over.
Yeah, or five.
Player. Exactly.
Because I said to you, who was that? Was that? Yeah, it was. Oh, what?
Yeah.
Just outside the box, did about 5 step overs in a row or, yeah, something straight out of the FIFA, FIFA playbook.
Definitely. He's definitely a player to watch. I would love to see him in the A-League next season. The other big games, we saw Sydney Olympic get a 2-0 win over Rockdale. Didn't really expect anything less. Sydney Olympic, top of the table. They're the best side out there. Rockdale continue their hot and cold season. Things aren't really looking the best for them, but that's football for you sometimes.
Before you go on, with this win that Bonnyrigg got over Sutherland Sharks, they're up against Olympic next week.
Yes. Big game,
massive game for them, for both sides really. Olympic, if they win this, they will prove that they are deservedly up the top. Bonnyrigg,
I might even credit them as the best team, best state league side in Australia if they can beat Bonnyrigg.
Fair enough. Bonnyrigg have started their season finally.
But they've picked up. They've got 4 wins, 3 draws out of their starting 10 games. No, 5 wins now, sorry. That win against Sutherland was their 5th win of the season.
Let's move on from results and just talk about a bit of the story that came out a couple days ago. Friend and favourite of the Football Sack, Brian Dean, coach of Parramatta FC Eagles, has resigned.
Yeah.
Effective immediately, he stands
it's
down.
It's devastating news. I was receiving a couple of tweets and a couple of Facebook messages about this, and no one can really believe it or understand why. Even like Dr. Craig Duncan from Sydney FC couldn't believe it. He honestly is one of those people who doesn't think that Parramatta can do any better than Coach Brian Dean.
Mm.
So I'm not too sure what Parramatta has in mind, what things they're going to change. Like, I understand there is a transfer window open for the next 2 weeks, so perhaps we'll see a complete clean out and some new fresh faces come in or something, but I've got no idea what's going on.
Yeah, you were very upset. You sounded there as well. We have an idea as to how to remedy the situation.
Well, it's not really our idea. Christian came up with this.
We can take
it. He passed it on to us.
So, the idea is that, well, Parramatta FC, no longer there without a coach. And it might take them a little bit of time to find a new one. Melbourne Victory, they've taken quite a long time to find a coach for themselves. So we thought perhaps we could step into the role.
Yeah, we'll put our hand up for that one. Why not? Even as an interim measure.
We did put our hand up for the CEO of Sydney FC as well.
Never got a call back.
We didn't get a call back. We're dedicated. We'll do a good job. We'll try our best.
But anyway, our plan with Parramatta, basically we're going to be on a rotation policy whereby each of us has a week-by-week coaching role, as well as controlling what food is sold in the canteen, as well as what drinks are sold at the canteen. So when it comes to my week, I will be playing a 3-5-2 formation. I'll have chicken and leek pies and cider for sale.
Whereas it is my week first up, and I am deciding to, in honour of Brian Dean, stick with the 4-4-2 and maintain the counter-attacking play of football that they play. In the canteen, I will totally get rid of the steak sandwich and tomato relish that made me sick. I'm going to go with more of what Sutherland Sharks had at their home ground, which was a hot dog, but it was cut in two, very nice, with bacon. Mm-mm.
Sounds good. What drink are you going to offer?
Maybe Guinness.
Oh, yes.
Bit of Guinness?
Now we're talking.
Let's move on to down south with the Victorian Premier League.
Down in Mexico.
Down Mexico way.
South of the border.
Dead and on Thunder.
Oh, we're going to get kicked in our heads for that one.
For that. We don't believe that Victoria is anything like Mexico. Certainly the temperature is not.
Anyway, what's going on in the VPL? Come on.
Dead and on Thunder. They, as you know, it was well publicised by our good selves, that they, a month ago, had some issues off field. They were reprimanded and were docked some money, some points, and they were forced to play their games behind closed doors, or a couple of them. They appealed that decision to an independent panel, and that has been upheld. So all those decisions remain. They can further appeal to the FFA, but really, I don't think they should. I think they should just leave it as is, cop it on the chin, and focus really on winning the Victorian Premier League, because they still stand a good chance.
They do. However, their 2-1 loss to Richmond on the weekend is a bit of a dent in their title hopes.
Very true. Which leaves Hume City to, you know, fight for the second spot. They've got second spot at the moment over Oakley Cannons, who are first, but they're only one point behind.
Yeah, and Hume City had the 3-0 win over third place Heidelberg United. So it proves what this title is. The race is so close that if you win one game, you can jump out in front for the next few weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure as to when this is, but Hume City versus Oakley Cannons, that will be a game for the spectators. Oakley Cannons, the coach Arthur Pappas, he's come out.
Round
21 is when that is. Arthur Pappas, unconfident that they will stay up the top, and he is very wary of all these teams that are underneath him, kind of chopping at his heels.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't suffer the similar fate as what's happened with Sutherland, whereby they all, where they've reached a turning point, things have gone from fantastic to basically being the team that anyone can beat. So hopefully Oakley can stay top and maintain their position, because fantastic squad they
have. Yeah, and a really young coach. I was hearing from Liam, who was on the show last week, that he's quite young, and he's been a coach at the AIS, and he's had a fantastic career so far for someone so young. Is that all we got for the Victorian Premier League? Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. Before we jump away any further west, quick note, Women's New South Wales Premier League, you keep bugging me to say, if Southern Branch actually win a game, to let you know. Well, look, laughs on you, they beat Blacktown Spartans 2-1.
Really?
Yes.
Yes!
That was their fourth goal of the season.
So, nice one.
Yeah, kudos to them.
Doesn't really help their goal difference at all.
No, they're still sitting on -35 and -37 from memory. But
that's fantastic to hear. Good on you, Southern Branch, for getting your first win of the season. Probably still sees you bottom of the table.
Yeah, they're well bottom of the table.
Well and truly bottom. But no, great
work for trying.
Great job, Southern. Now let us indeed move west. We've just got some results to talk you through from the WA All Flags State League.
Obviously, we must thank thatwasagoal.com for their fantastic article. First up, Western Knights managed to have a 1-1 draw with Sorrento. Florin Athena managed to have a 4-2 win over Coburn City. Coburn City.
Florin Athena, they were at the bottom not so long ago.
Yeah.
And they've turned it around and they've stormed up the table.
Yep, sitting at 6th on the table now.
And Dave from That Was A Goal is going to hate me, but their season turned around when he left the club.
Oh!
I'm really sorry, Dave, but I it's probably a really sore point.
Probably.
And we hope you're doing really well at your new club.
Hopefully.
But I hope that wasn't the reason that the season has turned around
for Obviously, them. You were holding them back. I'm saying that, not Matt, so you can blame me.
I'm saying that you're an amazing player, and Florian are...
Okay, they really need enough sucking up, okay? Other results, we saw Baywater City having a 3-3 draw with Armidale. We had Perth Soccer Club getting a 2-0 win over Mandurah. Balcatta having a 2-0 win over Stirling Lions. And ECU having a 1-0 win over Inglewood.
Balcatta still at the top of the table?
That is correct.
Thank you, Supernova. Queensland, up in Queensland, we've got a couple different leagues happening now. We now report on the Brisbane Premier League. Nick Horton. He's a new writer for the Football Sack. We've actually got a few new leagues since we podcasted last, because we're now reporting on the Northern New South Wales League, the NBN State League, and also the FFSA Super League, which is down in South Australia. So plenty of new leagues happening.
Yeah.
But firstly, up in Queensland, the league that we've been talking about quite a bit via Melanie Dinjaski, the Queensland State League, Sunshine Coast, they continue their run. Oh my goodness. It was a 3-0 win something. 3-1 over our team, the Mickey D Razorbacks. That was juxtaposed by Brisbane Strikers' 5-1 loss to the Queensland Academy of Sport. What are the Strikers doing to get a 5-1 loss? Who knows?
Well, Strikers are sitting second at the table, Queensland Academy of Sport are third. So you can't say that it's a bottom team versus a top team. They're both very strong squads. But to lose 5-1 Brisbane Strikers, something terribly went wrong there.
Yeah. Against third place, it should be an even contest, you would have thought.
You would have thought so, but obviously not.
It seriously dampens their goal difference there. I think they were about 18 and now they're 13 or something like that.
Yep, plus 13. That's them.
So... Sunshine Coast, good on you there, ahead, above the pack. Let's do some shout-outs, because we are headed along to Footy Fans Down Under awards ceremony on Friday night. Plenty of people heading along for that, and if you haven't already got your tickets, get along. Jump on the ffdu.net, get your tickets, come and say good day to us, have a couple drinks.
Yep.
That leads us to a bit of a shout-out from one of our writers, Neil Sherwin, across in Perth. He's coming across to say good day. He's bringing his wife, I think, to the awards.
How amazing is that?
Mm.
I fly down to Melbourne to watch a football match. He flies from Perth to Sydney just to have a drink with us.
Yeah, that's nice of you. Nice of you, Neil.
And I think it's wife or girlfriend. I've just made up a wife partner. For him. Partner.
Good. We say partner and we're safe.
Neil's partner is headed across as well. Some other shout-outs. Jimmy Stagger for some awesome updates on our adopted club, New England Revolutions. The Revs.
Go the Revs.
Go up the Reds. Next up, Major Coronary, who will miss out on the first three rounds of the A-League due to a mate's wedding. Sucks to be you, mate.
It does. But don't forget, I will be doing match commentary on as many games as I possibly can for the A-League, so you can follow that on Twitter.
Yeah, and the ones you don't do, you will find someone else to do them.
Exactly.
Now, Blake Hampton, who received his first shout-out on the original Quig and Lales podcast from last year. The Football Sack had a podcast, and it disappeared, as with the mentions to Blake Hampton. And so we're sorry, mate. We haven't mentioned you yet ourselves, but and he was a bit disappointed, and he wrote to us and said, "Why haven't you mentioned me?" Matt Blake, it was our understanding that you gave Quig and Lales all this content that they could talk about, and these funny jokes, these YouTube videos, but we haven't received anything.
No, I haven't got a single thing from you. I'm barely even getting tweets from you anymore, Blake. So look, if you want stuff to be mentioned on the Sack, you have to send it in.
We are more than happy to do so.
Add something to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thefootballsack. Add something to our Twitter feed, so twitter.com/thefootballsack. Send us an email, even.
Where's the love? We love you, Blake Hampton. Just love us back.
We don't sound desperate.
Finally, this is hard to know. 10 STK10 for staying up through the night to watch the Champions League final and then going to work looking like a zombie. My question is that, what were you doing in the hours leading up to the 4:30 a.m. kickoff?
Well, I think that's a bit of a private matter, but I guess I would like to call it FIFA.
Okay.
Or football manager time.
I thought you were meaning he might have been with his partner.
Quite possibly. Yeah, I like what you did there. Also, I would like to know, are you using makeup to look like a zombie, or is it just a natural appearance?
Very good question. I think that's a valid question as well.
Thank you.
Mm. I think that's a really good way to end the show. Do you use makeup to look like a zombie?
Yes, our producer is shaking her head, asking why on earth I just said that, but look, that's what happens with the Football Sack. That's what happened to the last girl. She got the sack because she didn't appreciate us. So embrace it while you can.
That has been the Football Sack Podcast, the award-nominated, hopefully by next week, the award-winning podcast. Tune in next week. We will find out whether that is the case. Thank you. I have been Matt Greenlaw. That there has been Supernova Pete Novakovsky. He's waving goodbye. See you later, guys.
Bye.
The Football Sack.